Our reading for today continues in the glow of the transfiguration of our Lord that we have been focusing on the last few days. It is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, the first chapter, beginning with verse 15. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Occasionally, firemen are placed in situations where they have to make some very dramatic rescues. There are times when firemen have to go and try to reach down from a roof, reach below to try to maybe snatch a child from a window ledge. And at that moment of reaching down to grab that little child and to accomplish the rescue so the child won't burn in the fire, just think of all of the various resources and things that go into that rescue effort. Think of all the training that has had to go into that fireman's life to be ready at that moment and to be willing and capable at that moment to go and perform that dramatic rescue. Think of all of the resources from the fire department that have been allocated for situations just like that to get that little child off of that potentially burning ledge. Think of all of the decisions that had to be made in the county meetings, possibly state meetings, all of the funding that gets set aside and put into those dramatic rescue efforts like that, just for the purpose of saving a person's life. All of the dollars that have been allocated. Think of all of the decisions that have been made through the years, all of the textbooks and manuals that have been written through the years about how to save somebody and how to reach down and do that. And think of his own physical training that it takes and conditioning his body and the knowledge and experience that he has and all of it. And hear all of it now as he hangs over that ledge, goes down through him, through his arm, his elbow, his wrist, into his hand and to his fingertips, and reaches down and grabs that child. And all of that energy, with the purpose of this very type of thing, grabs the child and pulls it to safety. When I got to seminary, I was so surprised by how much time we spent studying who Christ is. Nearly one entire year of our study in the 3 years of seminary study was dedicated to just learning who is Christ and all of the challenges that have come up through the years to the teaching of who Christ is. There were three volumes of a dogmatics textbook, like the deepest doctrinal books you're going to find. One entire book of that three-volume set was just set aside to talk about who Christ is. And I remember thinking, why do we spend so much time on this? Well, the reason is because Christ is the one rescuer that reaches down from heaven. And all of the authority of heaven itself, all of the power of heaven itself, all of its majesty, all of the love flowing from God, all of his mercy, comes down and reaches now into this world and into our lives in the very person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so his loving hand of the gospel and who he is the very hand now that has grabbed us and rescued us from the fires of hell and pulls us to safety. And the devil knows how important that hand is. And that's why through the years he has spent, and even today inside of the church, continues to spend so much time and effort trying to convince us that Christ is really not the Son of God, and challenges that doctrine from about every possible perspective that you could get. The devil knows how important Christology is and who this Savior is. We're told in our text, it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. Did you notice that first phrase? It pleased the Father. That's a great one. Just let that one kind of sink into you. It was pleasing in the heart of God that this rescue would take place. It pleased him to grab you from that ledge. It pleased him to send Christ. One of our hymn writers tried to depict that conversation between God the Father and his Son. He spoke to his beloved Son, "'Tis time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to man salvation. From sin and sorrow set him free." What a traumatic rescue has happened for us. Our text says, Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Through faith in Christ, that God now by the Holy Spirit creates in our hearts, and that today we are going to witness someone being confirmed in that faith. Through this faith in our hearts in this rescuer, this Savior, Christ has now made you part of his body, part of the mystical body of Christ, as part of his church, and he's connected to you like your head is to your very body. What closer way could God depict himself being united with you than that? There are probably children who have been rescued from fires who didn't realize until years later when they were more educated and found out more about the situation just what a tremendous effort there was put into their rescue. You and I today here in this world can certainly appreciate Christ and love him for this dramatic rescue of us, but just think when we're finally pulled into the mansions of heaven, what a greater appreciation we're going to have for him and for his work. Amen.